L.A. is our house. Say it with your whole chest, speak it with your mouth. Bothering Kings is what we're talking about. From Mars to the V-Block, everybody shout. L.A., L.A., big city of dreams. But everything in L.A. ain't always what it seems. You might get fooled by those other guys in town, but we're down by law. We know our way around too much.
L.A. is our house. Welcome to this episode 324. I'm here with David and Lewis.
Hey.
What's up, everybody?
And this is Bobby, and we are back again with the LA Galaxy at home with a draw against St. Louis 3-2-3, our third draw in four games of the season so far.
Still second unbeaten. At home.
Lewis is mentioned, asterisks. How are you guys feeling? I mean, let's talk about actually first before we get into the feeling of how we feel about that game. How did you guys feel about the crowd, the environment, the atmosphere?
Dude, I thought that the atmosphere was pretty like on point. Like it was, I would say it was like on par with maybe the Miami game. I mean, the Miami game had a little bit of extra oomph to it because it was Miami, it was messy. But I also think that that was like dulled down because there was a lot of the people there just to see Messi in Miami. And this all Galaxy fans. Like even my son Andrew was telling me, he's like, I see no St. Louis people here. And I was pointing, he was like, where are they? Yeah.
Above me, at least, because I sit over pointing, there now.
I was pointing out to it. I was pointing out to him that the away section is way over on the other side. He was right. Obviously, there's not as many St. Louis traveling fans. But I think that overall, the atmosphere pregame, the midgame, like during the game, the at the start and through the end of the game was like, there was a constant atmosphere. There were no dead spots throughout the whole game.
It wasn't a slouch game. Like it was a really good environment. It was moving. There was a lot of, there's a lot of people there. I only saw a few little areas that there was no seats, but it looked like season ticket member seats that people didn't get.
Didn't show up. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I think there was I didn't look at the attendance number, but it seemed pretty high, like kind of like a sold out game. Maybe I think.
It did feel very cool, though.
It was sold out.
It was.
Yeah. Okay. So there you go. Yeah.
There you go.
That's pretty good for the second game of the season after Miami, after the big event.
Right. For a team like St. Louis.
Like it didn't dip.
No stars.
Yep.
Right. Exactly. Yep. What do you think, Lewis?
About the atmosphere? I agree. I thought the crowd was on point. I thought they were electric, maybe not as much of a buzz for obvious reasons against Miami. Obviously, you had a good majority of, pink jerseys in the stadium, and that was kind of to be expected. But honestly, what we saw, hopefully it continues, but what we saw in this second game, as you said, no stars. By the way, no stars on either side. This is what I had always
said. It's subjective, said. Lewis.
It is. But what I had always said was,
For me.
That's actually exactly where I'm going with this. How many years have I said for the Galaxy to go out, find a no-name, do your scouting, find a no-name, bring him in here, and we will turn him into a star. And as long as you're playing well, and as long as you're, competitive, people will show up. Exactly what we saw in game number two. No stars. Puig was made into a star. Paintsil was turning into a star. We hope that Peck turns into a star. There's no stars in St. Louis. And the team is playing competitively.
We've never seen Joe Klaus. No. About? No.
No, but the MLSers know. No. MLSers know.
Yeah, just the sickos will know that. But no, there's no stars in the traditional sense. There were no stars in this game, and yet the crowd was there. It was electric because the Galaxy fans believe. They feel something is, different. The team's playing differently. you know, obviously, you know, the new era. So there is buzz around the team, which, you know, would explain the crowd. And like I said, I'm hoping that it continues to be that way. Well, we know that the season tickets were sold out or pretty close to. I think that the only ones that are left are like the, you know, the suites or the, you know, all the bougie seats. That's basically that's all, right. All that's left from what we understand. So, you know, there was a demand this year. And so hopefully that buzz continues to stay all year. And
yeah, I mean, look, yeah. It was only the second game, but the continuing the DJ thing in the beginning of the game and halftime. This time it was
this is going to be Monster.
Yeah.
So this is going to be a thing.
Well, we'll see. We'll see if it's going to be every single game throughout the entire season.
They said it is. Who knows to see? They have said that they're going to do this for every game, but who knows to say if it dies out or not?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So we'll see. Because you know, like deep middle MLS season, I don't know. We'll see. But I'm enjoying it at the moment. It's fine.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it.
I think this DJ was much better than the Miami DJ.
Yeah,
we could have swapped it out, but it's okay. It's fine.
I again consulted my EDM friend. I said, "Hey, we got Toki Monster this week," and he said, "Ah, she's a little hardcore for his taste," but I'm sure that. Hold on before you laugh. He said she's a little hard for my taste. He said she's a little hard for my taste, but I'm sure she's gonna go mainstream. And when I sent him the video of part of her set, he said, "Oh yeah, she understood the assignment."
Yeah. I mean, the funny thing is that it's ironic that he said that because I think the first DJ was overly trying. To get the assignment right. Like he went really mainstream,
boring.
And I thought it was, like boring mainstream. Like it was fine. It was cool because there was still a buzz in the stadium.
People around us, around me were enjoying it a lot. So, I was just like, blah, but you know.
I mean, it was the first show, you know, it was a new thing. Everyone was, you know, like everyone was in their seats 2 hours before the game even started. They knew what was happening. So everyone, again, you know, there was already a buzz in the stadium. And then Toki Monster comes out. She does her thing. And I even told David, okay, I enjoyed this a lot more than last week or, you know, last game. I was a little bit more into it. I was even without the buzz of the, you know, being the season opener, without the buzz of Miami being there, without like the media and all that stuff.
That's the fun thing. It still
has a bit of a buzz. And like I was vibing more to the DJ this time around than the last one. Then the halftime one though, the halftime one was like, I was out buying I was in line buying food at the time, but I was listening. I was like, I'm not vibing this one. This one's too slow. This one, like, it's not. I wasn't feeling the halftime one, but the pregame one, I was totally vibing that one.
I was trying to tell Ethan, like, they're going to use the lasers. They're going to use the lasers. Check it out. And they never use the lasers.
I thought that was a thing more often.
They should use it. That was so cool from the last game.
Yeah. Well, maybe there has some sort of technical problem because that was a thing that was apparently like, no, we're going to have lasers. And that was coming
who
straight from.
Who are you
from,
talking to that is saying that we are definitely going to do these things?
Gessman. Gessman had Misselbrook on the show.
Really?
Yeah. And he said, like, we're going to have lasers. We're going to do this. We're going to create this vibe for every single game, all season. Okay. Yes. Yeah. So.
Maybe she didn't like it.
They did put more of those. I don't know what they're not steam, but those smoke.
Yeah, like the smoke shooters.
They have them by the DJ booth now, and then they have them over by the other scoreboard on your guys' end. Lars's. So I've started to see those. There's a lot more of those now around, and then the spotlights, the big old super hardcore spotlights that move around. They have those out. Often, but yeah, the lasers, man, they should. I mean, I remember them from last year, not just Miami. I remember them from, I think they were, it wasn't July 4th because that was Rose Bowl, but It was a different game. I forget what it was, and they were.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah, they were using them during the halftime, when the team was coming back out.
Yeah,
when the team was coming back out, and they were playing like that EDM version of Seven Nation Army.
Yeah,
yeah. No, and they used it during the Miami game, and it was super cool. Like the light show was cool, but this one wasn't as. But that's fine. You know, mix it up, change it up. But yeah, I think overall, like I like that they did that. I know some people started taking issue with like, oh, Toki Mansa already did a thing with LAFC and they have her in the gear and all that stuff. But I'm like, look, dude, you're just a person out there just doing a gig. They're giving you money. Yeah. You go, yeah, sure, I'll wear that thing, whatever. Yeah. And I think the same is nobody's. I don't think anybody expects that like she's gonna start claiming Galaxy. You know what I mean? Yeah, like they're just there to do a job and that's it. Yeah, I mean, she is from the area. She is from the area, so like whatever. But. You know, people hire DJ to be dead,
you know, like hardcore Galaxy. Come on. Like,
So whatever. I'm fine with it. But yeah, I enjoyed it a lot, and I thought it was a it's good. I hope they keep that going, obviously.
Well, that's cool. Well, then, you know, right after that, the game starts, guys.
And bam, we got and we got a freaking goal pretty fast. Hold on.
Well,
all right, go.
We did get a goal in the second minute of incredible good teamwork through the back because St. Louis was giving high pressure from the beginning straight.
We knew that. That's their game.
But for a minute for literally a minute and a half or so, the Galaxy couldn't get out of their back end and quickly they figured a way out, and they got a good ball out to Jovalich, which created an incredible definitely a goal that I give him complete credit for. Definitely not just a tap in, beautiful goal.
Yeah, takes a touch, gives us a second minute,
and the crowd goes wild, and everybody is in a great ass freaking mood.
it was fast,
not knowing what's to come later.
Right.
But yeah, how are you guys feeling about that? I mean, that break first of all, and then the goal.
I mean, you obviously want to get off the, you know, on the scoreboard early, but you know, you want to keep that going. It's good to get off the mark if you know that you have a team that is going to basically continue to push and push and push. And I think we talked about. What was the game the other day where we were saying that we were trying to step on the necks of San Jose?
Yeah,
that's where we beat them, and
we were like, we're gonna beat every team at this point if we play like this.
We're gonna be killers.
That's what Ainsel said.
But certainly like that game, where we came out and we didn't let San Jose back in the game. Once you see that goal go in and you get that feeling of like, okay, we have an opportunity here to not let St. Louis into this game. And so that was my feeling at that point, is like, okay, we really have an opportunity here to, you know, maybe get another goal, get another two more goals maybe, and really just put this to bed early and just enjoy it.
Well, I mean, I'm gonna kind of be a little bit opposed of the word "let," because I don't really think the Galaxy let St. Louis come in, get back into this game. There were some pretty incredible goals that St. Louis, or just one incredible goal that St. Louis had that was just nobody could have stopped, nobody saw coming.
I went back and looked at it. And was like, oh shit, that was an incredible goal.
Yeah, I was just like, okay, sorry, okay, you know. but also, look at the post. I think the post stopped us many times. The St. Louis keeper had a hell of a game. He had at least two or three incredible blocks. Man, either that one. I don't even know if we should be moving that far ahead. But the one where who hit the post first? Was it Painsill? And then it bounced towards Jovalich, and he jumped up to head it. And then it hit the post again, and then he tried to backheel it, and then that's where it just didn't work anymore. And then they got the ball. Well, that was pretty early as well, wasn't it? Anybody home?
Nope. Yep, I'm talking and I'm muted. was that early? I felt like that was like deeper into the game.
No,
like
it was
20, 30.
No. It was still before the
it was before halftime for sure.
No, it was still at the first half, and I do believe I want to say it was before St. Louis scored their goal as well. It was Ricky Pooge. I think it was Ricky Pooge who hit the post off his shot, and then it went. The rebound went to Jovalich, and then he hit the post with his header. Painso hit the post, I believe, in the no. Also,
three hit the post three times in the first half.
Yes. And Painso hits the post. That was the third time. There was also, I think it was, again, very early on. I want to say it was definitely before the 10th. I don't remember exactly what minute. There was one where Painso drives in across. Jovalich gets a foot on it, and keeper makes a save. That happened like in the eighth or ninth minute or so. I mean, this. Can I start my rant? Let me know when you guys are ready for my rant.
Just get it out of the way, because then I'm gonna go get a drink. I'll be right back.
I don't want to hear this shit.
I don't want to hear this. I got plenty.
Go ahead.
Like, he's on the Blue Man Group again. He got plenty of time. Look. This Galaxy team is. I mean, it's frustrating to watch, as it has been in past seasons, but for different reasons this time. I don't think any frustration is better than the other, but you know, it's for a different reason. Past frustrations have been, you know, we're looking bad, we're getting run off the field, we have no defense, you know, teams get through our defense, like, you know, we didn't have anyone out there, we're not creating any chance. We have the ball for so long in the final third, and not a single shot is being taken. Like, nothing is happening. That was a frustration. This time around, that's not the case. The frustration is, you should be winning this game, and you're not. You should be up by 4, and you're not. You should be 4-0, and you're not. So the frustration at least is, like, toward the positive side. But, you know, the thing is, after the Miami game, where we dominated and we missed chances and we missed a penalty kick and we let in a goal, you know, in the final minute to not get a victory that we just wholeheartedly deserved. I left that game feeling good. Like, okay, we dropped this game, but we played well. And I'm encouraged by that. That if we continue to play this way, we might have something special here.
But
it happened in the second game, where I was like, UL plays San Jose. And then it happened in the third game, where you're outplaying Nashville. But that's when things started going like, you should be winning this game. We're expecting you to win this game. You outplay this team. You're playing against a B squad. They're tired. You have all the advantage and momentum. And all of a sudden, you know, I'm supposed to be happy because we clawed back from 2 goals down when we shouldn't have been 2 goals down. And all of a sudden, I don't feel good. I'm not feeling good. So I go out and say the honeymoon is over. And I get called out on it. I love that, by the way. And I'm going to double down. The honeymoon is over. Is 100% over. I am not saying that this team sucks. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying we're done.
Lock it up. Remind me to never go on a honeymoon week with you. in the middle of the week, it's going to be fucking horrible.
that's a smart move. I'm not saying that the season's over. Pack it up. I'm not saying, okay, let's look forward to 2025. Banny out. You know, I'm not saying any of this stuff. I'm just saying, you know what? I can start to criticize you now. I can say, you know what? 3 out of 4 games, and you've dropped 6 points. 3 out of 4 games, you've outplayed every single one of your opponents where you could have put them out very early, and this game could have been done, and you could have been bruising. And He didn't win a single one of those games. This is a trend here. And, you know, you're starting to see, like, ooh, you can forgive the first one. You might even say the second one is like, okay. But the third one, it's, you might have a problem here.
Well, look, the good news is that Greg Vanney and Greg Vanney's teams don't do anything in threes. They don't win three in a row. They don't lose three in a row. So it'll, you know, it's not gonna, it may not be a trend unless you're looking at, you know, blocks of games.
I mean, I suppose that's one way of looking at it, but every single one, and here's the interesting part is you can start criticizing the team and you have a solid case. Yet you have a solid case for the other side as well. And that's what makes it kind of fun, but frustrating at the same time. Because you look back at him like, is the team playing badly? No, they're not. They're not playing badly. They've outplayed their opponents. But you shot yourself in the foot, and that's a problem. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say they've shot themselves in the foot. I would say that they
specifically in this game.
No, no. I wouldn't say they've shot themselves in the foot because the goalkeeper, okay, so in the game where they missed the penalty or where Dayon got his penalty blocked. And all that, I would say maybe they did a little bit of a friendly fire there. In this game, St. Louis's goalie had a freaking game, yeah, dude.
Hell of a game.
But Miami did the same thing. And like, you know what? At some point,
but that's, soccer, dude. That it happens. It happens.
Two separate teams can have incredible goalkeeping performances, and that's not a trend other than for that team. It's you know what I mean? It's not because
Galaxy just
can't convert. When you can criticize the Galaxy and conversion is one, the penalty is okay, yes. You can definitely do that. Absolutely. And two, when you have like clear chances and you put the ball wide, you put it over the bar, they're getting the shots on goal. They're creating the chances. Yep. They're just getting a little bit unlucky right now. But the fact is they're creating those chances. And so you cannot... You can criticize them for letting the goals in. You should not be criticizing them for creating the chances and just failing to convert unless it's a trend. And the guys that should be converting have converted.
Okay, so let me build on that because you're saying they're creating chances and letting goals in. You're half right. They are creating chances, but I don't even think that they're letting goals in. Most of the goals have been shooting themselves in the foot. I haven't heard any one of us or really anybody on social media say anything really bad about the defense thus far.
Not really.
I don't think any goal that's been scored.
The Oudé one where he chests that down, that's definitely a criticism on his part.
Right. Sure. But it's a criticism of individuals, not team.
Yeah, but not as a team, as the whole line in the back. Yeah,
right.
I think it's fair. I think they've been pretty strong.
Yes.
I thought Oudé had an incredible game.
100%.
That was one of the things I was going to bring up, that Oudé has, like, at the beginning of the season, before we started playing, I was like, man, I'm worried about Oudé. He has been falling out, dude.
All of us. He just switched it on. Like, the lights just got turned on. And boom.
Yep. Yes.
Yep. I agree. I agree with you. But this is what makes, like, the criticisms kind of funny. And it's kind of, like, almost foolish at the same time. Because one of the things where you're shooting yourselves in the foot, at some point, you're going to have to make those shots. And Jovalich, you can criticize Jovalich. You can say, hey, you know what? Up until he scored the goal in Miami, guy was having a shit game. I mean, he was having a shit game. He was doing absolutely nothing. He gets a crazy tap-in with no goalie in front of him, and we're praising him as a hero. Second game, something similar.
I don't think Jovalich said that.
Jovalich scored
as a hero. Maybe
we didn't praise him as a hero.
Maybe not hero, but he was like, "Oh, Jovalich scored," and you know he was having a
horrible game. I think that's what we said. He had a terrible game, but he scored.
San Jose.
I don't think that's pretty much.
You were like, he's just doing his job.
That's just stating the fact.
Kind of boring, whatever. This is the game I actually highly praise him. This game.
Okay.
This first.
And this is where I'm going with this, because even if you're criticizing, he had a crap game up until he scored. Well. He was actually more involved in Nashville and even more involved against St. Louis.
Yep.
Yep. Like, he was actually making better runs. He was tracking back better. Yep. He was more connected with the team. So I'm like, okay, hard to criticize Jovic because he's actually improved in every single game. So, okay,
he's doing there's what we're that. Asking. He's doing – okay. Our demands the other are thing, being met.
The other thing is for the
– waiting for the other shoe to drop here, Lewis.
No, no. This is the point. Like, there's two sides to the coin, and yet each side is, like, equal right now because you can criticize them like, hey – I don't know exactly. I probably should have had this up. How many shots has he actually missed? And David, you even said it for, oh yeah, you know, for all the shots that he's, you know, that he's made, look at the ones that he's missed. You told me this at the stadium and you're 100% correct. Jovic has 4 goals in 4 games. So it's really difficult to say that he's not doing what he's supposed to be doing, but he should have closer to 7 goals by now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and this, so it's this like, and again, game, we should have had 3 more goals over what we had.
Exactly. So this is where shooting yourself in the foot comes into play. Jovic makes some of these goals. You're not coming home with a draw in any single one of those games, and the penalty kick included. So it's kind of like, you're kind of going both sides here, I mean, and yet you really can't go
in the foot if you're hitting the post and you're getting
the
goal. But you're still missing.
But that's you're still missing yourself in the foot.
But no, you're but still not making them.
That's a you're different not term them. Compared to shooting yourself in the foot. Yeah, shooting yourself in the foot is if what, you're like fucking Ricky, up your chances on your own.
What Ricky did
in giving that ball away, I would maybe lean
that is shooting ourselves to the foot. Closest to that term, yes.
So, because that brings me to my second.
That is an unforced error that leads to a chance for the other team. Jovalik getting a shot blocked point blank by the goalie – by a good goal performance is not getting shooting yourself in the foot. It's a good if you have a point, block.
When he never likes to give credit to the other.
I'm not taking man. No. I'm not taking credit away from the goalkeeper. The guy stood on his head, and that's fine. But at some point, you got to beat the goalkeeper. Okay,
well, he did at a certain point, and so did other players.
So did other players.
What are you talking about? Every shot is not going to be a goal.
I get that part.
That's a professional forward. Goal. So every time you touch the ball toward the goal, it should be a goal. Or you fucked up.
I get that. Not every single shot is going to go in. But again, through three of those 4 games, you've missed an ample amount of shots that probably should have gone in. Like, a good amount should have gone in. And we're not talking about, like, hey, you get one opportunity and you didn't take it, right? You missed it. You're getting ample. So I get that the more shots you take, the less are going to go in. Just statistically, that's just the way it's going to happen. The lone anomaly there is San Jose. But, a lot of those, like, you guys know that a lot of those should have gone in.
And the blocks and the saves. Yeah.
But
if the post wasn't there, yes.
Right. But they are there. The one that hit the post, obviously. Bobby.
But on the one that hit the post, even if the goalie's not there.
You know, I know. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, at some point
I think I even screamed at one point, why didn't the post, why didn't the goal, because we just needed it. I was like, Jesus, how many times look, it's the post?
Right now I want to chalk it up to they're unlucky. They're creating the chances. We're not getting like Kevin Cabral level bad up top. And I think that they're going to improve. And I think that they're going to address the things that need to be addressed. And it's not like, you know, last year we weren't even creating these chances, dude.
We weren't even creating any magic on the field. Nothing until really late when Costa decided to step it up.
There were moments, Lewis, where you looked at me and you were like, holy crap, look at that. There were. They
played. I know. I'm well aware that they're.
We finally have the winger we wanted. Alessandrini couldn't do it. Pavon couldn't do it. Costa couldn't do it. And now Paintsill. He's going in there. He has. Dude, the speed that this man has is insane. Yeah, every time they throw the ball out forward, like really far out, I'm like, oh, I don't know if he's going to get that. And shoop, he gets yep. there. And I'm like, wow.
And let me tell you, man, Paintsill has endeared himself to this team for the will he won't he of the offseason. For all of the like, I don't know, I might hold out for something else, you know, like I'm not, I'm not ready or whatever the narrative was with Paintsill. He's come, you can tell he's bought in. He wants to come totally. Here and no, be a star.
Make an effort.
Here. I mean, the way he's pumping up the crowd at the end of the game, working the crowd, and then just they play his song after he scores a goal. He's playing the song. You know, he had a big smile on his face after that. I mean, come on, dude. This is
no. I mean, he was driving for that goal for a very long time.
Yeah, just the and he half. Wanted more. He's mad at himself that he did. They did not get the win here. I know it.
No, I mean there's a lot of highlights in the game that we ended up coming out very frustrated with. I get it.
Yeah.
Because like I feel like we should have definitely won that game, and I think a lot of people do. And then coming out as a draw is definitely feeling as if we lost 2 points there for sure, 100%. But I mean, come on, you got to give credit to St. Louis's bicycle kick. I mean,
that, yeah, no, that was kind no of one saw nuts. That coming. I mean, don't get beat on that header. Don't get beat on that header to set it up. But once the ball gets to where it's going, that little bicycle, little old man bicycle kick is crazy.
That wasn't an old man bicycle kick. Zlatan was the old man bicycle kick. It was such a back and forth game. I feel like a lot of the majority of the team did. Well, under the situation of how the game played out, of course I want more. I definitely don't want to be falling, behind in a game ever at all. But who does? Of course. I just want to ask you guys. I'm ready for Peck to start. I'm tired of him coming in second half now. I don't believe he's a super sub because he's not. He never has been. He hasn't proved anything coming in the second half. He hasn't done much. I think Fagundes would be a way better super sub with Peck starting, but we really need this guy to get starting already. Like, he needs to start.
I think he needs to get a goal. That's for sure. He almost had one. He had one or two shots. One of them was a little weak, dribbler that the goalie easily collected. The other one, I think, was blocked. I mean, he showed some promising moves out there, but you can tell he needs to have a couple of games where he's got a lot of minutes under him and he really gets like that feel for the league. I mean, I'm impatient already. I know. He comes in, he's young. He got here I think a little bit later. No, Paintsill got here late, but he was getting married and he had to go back to Brazil to get married and all that. And now he's back here and moving his wife and everything. And, let's not forget, speaking of honeymoons, maybe his energy level wasn't at the top for this game. Because he's a good Christian boy. So he was waiting probably till he got married. And he is so now he's depleted. he's depleted for that. And maybe in this next game he's gonna build that back up a little bit.
Or maybe he's gotten now he's finally got the taste.
Yeah. Exactly. He's finally got it. So now we know. I think for this next game in Kansas City, I think he should start. I would like to see him start. And we talked about this a little bit in Balls and Beer. I think that there's going to be some rotation given that we have guys. We'll talk about the Caceres red card in a minute. But we have guys that I think have seen a lot of minutes in these first four games. And we probably need to see a little bit of a rotation. I don't think the expectations are on us to win in Kansas City. So I can see a situation where we start to rotate a little bit in this next game, and part of that might be Peck starting and giving Fagundes a rest.
I mean, definitely. I mean, look, I'm kind of worried about Oji-san, Yoshida. Because dude, he's going full 90 in every game, and that yeah. guy, I mean, he needs some rotation. He needs some rest, man.
We don't have center backs right now.
I know. That's what I'm worried about. That's what I'm so
the rotation is going to be Zavaleta.
Zavaleta or Mavinga. Yeah.
Mavinga's gone, dude. We got rid of Mavinga.
We got rid of him. Yeah, I forgot about that. Thank the Lord. Who else is there? Is there
anyone
else there?
Other than Kranis?
Kranis is yeah.
technically on the roster, but he's got, you know, he's super green. And obviously, Jalen Neal, I think, is still coming back. I think he's still a few weeks away from.
He's due back in April, I think.
Yeah. So he needs to stay out there. He needs to stay healthy. I mean, dude, he got his goal. I mean, what a goal he got. Yeah,
no, I mean, he's fantastic. I'm telling you, I'm not even saying he's slowing down.
Gossett almost got a goal. That would hit the post too, right?
I think he got blocked.
Yeah. But I also thought he was insane in the St. Louis game.
He kind of did go insane in this game. He got that yellow card. He got that yellow card for what I don't think is a yellow card foul. It was a foul for sure, but I don't think it's a yellow card.
It wasn't.
And it didn't matter ultimately. But he got really heated, and like you could see his teammates come over like, "Hey, calm down, because we don't need you getting red carded here." So I could tell he was gonna get a red card. I don't know what it was, but like after that reaction, I was just like, he's gonna do something stupid, like go tap the ref on the shoulder while he's looking at VAR. Thankfully, that didn't happen because the center referee refused to look at VAR in this game.
Yep.
I don't think he refused to look at it.
It could have been the person in his ear saying no, nothing.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, the person in his ear saying, "Don't worry about it. Keep going." They looked at it, but they like at that point they have to tell the center ref take a look at it. I don't think we have any indication. Yeah, that is up to him. I don't think we have any indication to say he did not want to look at it because
it did feel that way.
It felt that way.
I didn't feel that way about Caceres. I mean, it ended up being Ricky that lost his shit on the ref and got his yellow card on him for talking back to him.
The thing is, I'm not blaming the refs for anything. Again, this is us, you know. We're the ones hitting the post. We're the ones giving the ball away in bad positions. Yeah, but
sometimes you got to really just admit that there's some really bad calls, and there's just things that
there is, but it's going. The thing is, they only
just really dismiss it every single time. I mean,
the only thing is,
it does live in the reality of the game.
The only thing is that it's not like it's not unique to us. It's happening league wide. And for every.
But the only game we're talking about is us. So
no, I know. But for every bad call that we would complain about, or like bad call or non-call or whatever, I'm sure St. Louis is probably thinking the same thing. There was one instance.
I would say for us specifically, we have more of a gauge of what is an actual foul than not just being emotional about it. You know, when we're at the games, there's sometimes the crowd gets emotional on a foul and we're like, that wasn't a foul, you know?
Yeah.
I understand that part. But what I'm saying is we don't see the calls that are like not going against us. Remember the handball? Like, that it wasn't called. I'm like, dude. Like, literally, you didn't have to look any other direction. And you just missed, like, some guy dribbling by himself, popping the ball up, and it hits his hand, and literally nobody called it. Yeah. Like, that is, like, you know, I mean, if I'm St. Louis, I'm going berserk. Now, it didn't lead to a goal, but I'm going berserk if, like, dude, it doesn't get more obvious, blatantly, like, I mean, it wasn't like intentional, but like, dude, that's a call that has to be made. And there's, we're like, there was wow, a
couple
okay.
times though. There was a couple times where yeah,
but we notice it and we go, "Whew, good thing yeah. we didn't get that call."
Right, but my point,
but we do right, notice it.
But my point is, for everything that we complain about because the ref missed, I'm sure St. Louis fans are doing the same thing. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, and it's
they
not
be.
Unique.
And they should be. Yes. It goes both and ways. And
exactly.
I'm not saying that that's the reason for the loss, but it factors into the totality of the game. Yes. Because if you look at some of the things that the fouls that St. Louis committed, I know I said it to Andrew a couple times, where like I looked at the foul and the referee would give a yellow card to St. Louis, and I'm like, that one's not a yellow card. But then when they take out Paintsill or they take out Ricky, I'm like, that should be a yellow card.
Right.
And then there's no call. Or right. they just give like a regular foul. Like there was a couple times on the, I think it was on the sideline where Pizzo got like cleaned out. And I'm like,
oh yeah,
that's just going to be out like of bounds.
Times.
Who yeah. got, like, who got okay. upended? One of our guys got, was it Ricky Ooh, that shit. Got upended? Ricky. Yeah.
He looked like he was up in the air and then he got kicked in the air.
He got, yeah, he got higher, taken out from like underneath. He jumped and the defender went underneath yep. and the guy went underneath him.
That's
and
when he got the yellow card, wasn't it? That's when he like lost.
Yeah, because he complained about it.
Because he
yeah,
complained
yeah, yeah.
about it.
That's when he got. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So it's. I mean, I'm not giving the refs a pass, and I'm not saying that like we shouldn't be critical of the refs. In fact, I'm of the opinion that like obviously no one's going to do this because fines are you know obviously are going to be. Hand it out. And I gotta figure that these fines, I mean, they gotta be heftier than any other year because they are really, really scared to say anything. And we're talking the entire league. I'm not talking about like the Galaxy players or Greg Vanney. I'm talking the entire league is very quiet on
this. But they've been giving instruction to not say anything.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. And I think, I mean, this is another argument that I don't want to get into, but I mean, MLS is absolutely fumbling this in like the worst possible time when all eyes are on your league. You are absolutely fumbling this. I don't know. I mean, there is this really dumb arrogance about MLS right now that is just absolutely hurting. This is shooting yourself in the foot right here. But that's another whole you know thing that we're not going to talk about. But it is frustrating. But I think at this point, like seriously, the players and they all know they got to make a stand at this point. Like, dude, I'll take the fine. Like, Garber, pay the goddamn refs, you know, because this is getting ridiculous. Yeah. And but I am of the opinion right now, like I said, going back to the game. Well, before we get into that, let's talk about that second yellow to Cáceres okay. because yeah. the guy
oh, that was not a second yellow. That was a straight red.
But yeah, but
that was
yeah,
a straight red.
It was a straight red. But yeah, it could have been a second yellow turning into a yeah. red. Didn't matter. Doesn't matter.
It didn't
but
matter. It doesn't matter. Red. It was. You know, the funny thing is, so I think the game was 3-3 at the time, right? I don't think we had yep. a score. Yeah. So it was basically Yoshida went in for the slide tackle. He completely missed. He basically left Cáceres, you know, out there to dry.
I mean, the guy
– he apologized.
The St. Louis attacker had, like, just completely, like, just rushed by – Yoshida. Yoshida's slide tackle was like a last dish effort.
Right.
I think if Yoshida would have made contact, that would have been the red.
Possibly.
No, possibly. That would have been a yellow. No, that would have been a yellow. I think that would have been just a yellow card.
Maybe just because Cáceres is...
Because Cáceres was... Maybe.
Yeah, Cáceres comes in and flies at the guy.
He's not even trying for the ball.
No, hell yeah, no.
He's not trying for the ball.
He knows. Man. But that's why I knew, like at the moment that Cáceres got his yellow, I knew he's losing his head in this game, and that was the moment.
But that I don't think he lost his
head in this game at
no.
all. I don't know what you're talking about, dude. He was completely composed in this game. He did an incredible job the entire game, and then also just getting that red card. I know you don't disagree with this. Is that it was definitely a great.
It was goal saving. Yeah, yeah. It was a goal save. I mean, he got a standing ovation for a red card because he saved the game in that
because that could have been
that sense.
I mean, it would have been up to McCarthy, but most
it was hilarious. But, well, with the game that McCarthy was having, it was, you know, it would have been a goal. It was a hilarious moment. But I also think that, like, the mentality that he had in that moment, or not in that moment, from that point on, he was getting kicked out, dude. He was going to get kicked out of this game no matter what.
I don't think so.
And that was the moment.
I disagree with that. I didn't see that at all either. I feel like, was he frustrated? Absolutely. Could he have lost his head? Absolutely. But I don't think he did. He did what he had to do at that moment. And it wasn't because he lost his head. I think he actually had the right mind to say, if I don't do this, we lose this game. Okay,
so do you think
it was the most logical
thing? Yeah. So I agree.
Lewis, earlier you said that based on the angle that you saw, you don't think that he had to do that. I think I'm of the opinion that, like, that was the only choice he had at that point, because that guy makes one little move and he's blowing past
Kyle. No. I'm
not going to save him. Going to catch up to him.
I had not seen it. I had not seen the replay up until that clip. I was at the stadium. We were in the upper level. They were on the other side. It did look like that. This was literally the only option that he had. Then you look at the TV angle and you're like, ooh, probably could have gone a different direction there. He probably could have at least stopped him and slowed him down and have, like, his teammates catch up after looking at that angle. I don't disagree with what he did, because I still would have taken that 100 times out of 100. He's basically saying, I could do this. He could also get by me. But I know one way easily. He ain't getting by me.
For me, he
made the correct decision.
For me, it was, he's definitely going to get by me. I need to take him down. That was the only choice. It wasn't, maybe I'll get a foot on the ball. I'm going 90 plus minutes now. I'm freaking tired. I'm older than this guy. This guy's going to smoke me. I gotta tackle him. I gotta put my body on him. That was it. There was no other decision. There was no other thought. That was it. He knew he was going for the red card. He knew he was tackling him. He knew he was bringing him down. That was it. And it was the best decision, and it was the right decision.
Yeah. Point blank. And I mean, I agree with that. He gets a standing ovation as he exits the field. And rightfully so. He basically saved, you know, the point. And you know, I mean,
we're not gonna have him next week.
Right. That's the downfall, the downside. You don't have Neil.
Unless the lockout ends and the referees come back and then the Galaxy's like, slides a little envelope across the table. Hey,
I know, right?
You want to rescind that red card?
Yeah, that's not happening. But it doesn't hurt to try.
The only amazing thing is if Neil is incredibly perfect,
gets miraculous. Yeah. Yeah,
right.
Mr. Miyagi's got to come do the
Jackie Chan.
Yeah. Wait, what?
Jackie Chan. He's very Mr. Miyagi, dude.
Oh, right. it's got to be the magic healing of Pat Morita, Mr. Miyagi, on Jalen Neal. Unless that happens,
Jackie Chan did it too.
Gonna happen.
Yeah, Jackie Chan did it too.
So how can you say he's not Mr. Miyagi in that movie?
Because that's not his name in the movie. I don't think, right?
It's not his name in the movie. No.
Okay, sorry. Not Mr. Miyagi. This is a whole other side conversation that we had earlier on that we've kind of interjected in this section.
You know you were looking to plug it in.
I'm just
saying, man. I saw the opportunity. Exactly.
Either way, let me go ahead and kind of bookend this rant here. At the end, I'm still disappointed that you are not sitting at the top of the standings with 12 points, because you more than deserve to be at the top of the standings with 12 points. You should be undefeated at home. You have yet to win at home. That is disappointing.
That was a bummer.
You know, and again, it's one thing to say you got outplayed. You have not been outplayed yet. I think statistically, and I haven't actually got into the stats for this game, but I think statistically, I could accept the draw more than, say, the Nashville game. But even still, it's like, again, this game should have been put to bed in the first half. We talked about it. It should have been 3 or 4-0 before St. Louis got their goal, and this game would have been done.
Well, Lewis, we did talk about how this was going to be the first game that is the most challenging game for the Galaxy. Yeah. And it happened. I mean, this was the most challenging.
But again, them, I mean, you know? If you're looking at the goals, you know, the first one was Ricky Puig losing the ball. By the way, Ricky Puig has lost the ball in that, you know, in that side of the field where he shouldn't be losing the ball more than once. We just got lucky. Okay, we just got lucky that he didn't score. Klaus had an open header. He missed. I know there was a couple other shots that weren't on target that were, again, we gave the ball away in that part. And I get it. It's the press. It's, you know, that is what's intended. It was intended. Very hard
for this team. They haven't felt this at all this season.
Which is super weird to me because, like, you have to understand. I mean, I have to imagine that they know the style of play that's coming. So you start preparing for it. Same thing with Nashville. Even if you know the low block is coming, you're saying, well, you start to get through it. Right, but you have to figure that they were practicing it all week. What are we going to do? So I got to figure that the press was something similar. Like, dude.
Because we've even played them in preseason, even though it was a different team. Our team was a different team at that time.
I mean, we all know that this is
style from St. Louis.
Right. Exactly. I mean, we know that this is what's going to happen. So you have to be able to prepare for it. Obviously, you're not going to be perfect. I get that. But and to be fair, I thought that the Galaxy were pretty well prepared for it. The way they were moving the ball around, you know, it did look like they were scrambling. They did have some trouble, but I can tell that they're trying to do this. Yeah. They're having a little bit of difficulty, but they're definitely trying to do this. They're prepared for it. But they were losing some balls. Yamani gave the ball away a couple times. Ricky Puig got, you know, triple teamed, which, you know, should happen. But at that point, Ricky has to know, like, dude, don't try to dribble past three defenders right in front of the penalty box.
Right.
Like, if you want to do that in the opposition's half, where you're trying to thread the needle or you're trying to get through and create something, break defense down, fine. You're probably not going to get too many, like, you know, it's not going to hurt you as much as if you do it in our half.
It's most likely someone's going to be behind you to save that. But
you know, like, again, that's a mistake, but I can't criticize Ricky because obviously Ricky is Ricky and he's still doing like a good percentage of good rather than, you know, that one bad thing. Right. Yep. Same thing with Paint. So, hey, he did some boneheaded things that cost us that penalty kick, but it's hard to play. And he's, you know, he's missed shots. He's hit the post. He's missed some shots. But it's hard to criticize him because guess what? He's been doing everything else correctly.
Yep.
You know, so this is like a weird, like I said, this is where I kind of started with that rant. Whatever you can criticize, it's like, yes, it's individual mistakes. At some point, you got to say, when are we going to start fixing these individual mistakes? And if you start looking at those players like, okay, can I blame this guy? Yeah, but he's been doing pretty good other than that one mistake, right? And it's just really, like, bizarre. But stats-wise, you know, St. Louis was kind of, like, there with us. I'm just saying, like, when you put it past – I think I said this to David. I go – because I wasn't looking at the stats throughout the whole game. I had my kiddo there. He had the phone practically the whole time. But when I did get a chance to look at the stats, I go, okay – eye test says we were the better team. We had more chances. Statistically, we're even right now. And so when I look back at it, I go, no, St. Louis did have their chances, mainly because we gave the ball away, not because they did put pressure, so they did somewhat create it. But, you know, this is one where I was like, okay, I get it. But at the same time, dude, plenty of chances. Unlucky or not, you got to finish those chances, man. And at the end of the day, again, honeymoon is over because I could start criticizing them and I could leave the stadium not feeling good because I didn't feel good about the draw. Yeah. I didn't even celebrate the third goal. David, you know that. I sat in just sat there, I didn't even clap. I was just like, okay, because even before it happened, I had told Andrew, I go, this team is capable of scoring, but even if they do, they're still dropping points. It doesn't matter. It's still a loss to me. They're dropping two more points at home. They should not be in this position. So, no, I left that stadium pretty upset. Completely different than what it was against Miami. That's where the honeymoon is over. I can be upset that we're not winning these games. You're playing well, but you don't have the results to back it up. This is what I'm upset about. And obviously, that's a better problem to have than you're getting run off the field and you're having the same issues that you've had for the past like eight seasons. So there's that. The other thing is that this team is competitive and it's dynamic. It is capable of running with anybody because there's nobody right now in the league where I'd say if we play them, we have zero chance. We can go into Columbus right now. You know what? We probably will lose that game. But we ain't getting running off the, we ain't getting run off the field. And there's no way that I'm saying there's no way in hell that we could possibly get a point here. I can't say that. This team is going to be competitive. I know that they're eventually going to lose. It's inevitable. But you're going to be competitive doing it. And I think that's the difference for me. Right now, Vanny is very much putting this team in a position to win. The defense has been playing significantly better. We said it already. As a whole, none of us has said, who's ball watching? This guy's ball watching. We look like traffic cones out there. We haven't said any of that.
None of that.
We haven't said any of that. Our goals have been individual mistakes. Penalty kicks on their part, you know, bad giveaways in our half. That's something that needs to be fixed, obviously. But for the most part, the defense, momentarily through the first four games, it's been fixed. And the offense, if we were not creating chances, then you start looking at Vanny like, dude, this system isn't working. But that's not the case. They're just not finishing. So this is the argument of who do you blame, the coach or the players? Right now, it's the players. Vanny has the least amount of fault in this. Vanny's right there like, dude, I can't do anything else. This is now on you. This isn't an individual thing. So you look at, okay, what have we done? Those missed shots. That's when you have to start looking at that, dude. You have to correct that. No, they're not all going to go in. But you have been put in a position to win, and you should have won. And you didn't. This is where the criticism comes in. So point is, honeymoon is over. But this team is still going. These are things that can be fixed, should be righted. Yes, the Galaxy have been unlucky, and that's something, again, can even out as the season plays through. I'm still liking what I'm seeing from this team, but you need to stop these individual mistakes, and you need to start like putting these games away. Because even if you're allowing that one mistake, they scored. There goes your clean sheet. Yeah, but we're up 4-1. We're good. You know, like, that's what probably should have happened in, like, all of these games. So, again, I think the criticism right now is fair. I think the frustration is fair. But to give up on the team, no way. No way. There's still something here. They're still playing dynamic. They're still playing good soccer. You just got to clean this shit up. You know, you got a tough game in Kansas City. A place where you historically have struggled, a team that has kind of given you fits when they shouldn't have. But, you know, I don't go into that game saying, yeah, there's no way we can gain a point out of this. Just no way. Seriously, I can go into Cincinnati right now and still say, we can get a point. We play well, we can get a point. We might even steal a win. We may not win, but I'm not saying it's an automatic loss.
Yeah, I think they're at that. I think they're sort of on that, like, I don't know, what do you want to call it? Like a cusp?
I don't
like
think...
On that, it's like that teeter-totter.
I think teams... This is where, obviously, and you guys will all agree with me. We always
say... They don't fear us.
We're not feared, but we're respected. No, they don't fear us, but they respect us. I think
teams,
that's fair.
Teams know we're a threat right now. They know. They know Paintsill's name. They know Peru's name. They know Delgado. They know Jovalich's scoring record right now. They know.
But I think maybe individually they're afraid of Puj, they're afraid of Paintsill. You know, they're individually, you can say that. I think as a team, I don't think anybody fears us, but I 100% believe they respect us. They're saying like, dude, we need to play at the top of our game now, because if we're not playing at our top of our game, this team is going to beat us. It's not like passive, we're like, hey, dude, just think of it. We're going to win this game. right? Like, there's a team plays no defense. They have no, you know, all you got to do is sit back. They're not going to score. They have no, you know, there's no creativity in the final third. They can't defend transition. Like, there were so many ways to beat us where I don't think teams even respected us. I think that's changed. The thing that's missing is the fear. Like, I don't want to play the Galaxy. I think that's missing. But fix those mistakes and you'll get there, because this team is not playing bad.
I think they're not playing bad. Honestly, I think once Pick gets off the mark, and I think once he like really gets going, that fear will come.
It's about results though. Yeah, because I think people, I think
is
that
is not that much. He's not bad. Like, he's great. He's great.
No, he's playing fine. Yeah. I don't feel like
if Peck was in there, it'd be that much of an improvement right now. To me, it really. I just want this guy to get his minutes. But
this is, by the way, this is a good problem to have, and we haven't gone highest rated, lowest player. And I'll probably skip it this week. But
I want to do it.
Okay, but let me, fine. Oh, we'll get into it. But let me ask you this, because based on like, you know, okay, you know, Fagundes is playing well and Peck should start, but hey, you know, who's your weak link right now? This is a tough question. There's obviously an answer to this because you can have players that are like are all 10 out of 10. The guy who's 9.9 is officially your weakest link. So there is an answer to this question, but it's really hard to answer. Who is your weakest link right now? Who's the weakest link on this team?
I can't make a decision. I cannot I'm looking at the lineup right now and I cannot make a decision.
So I would say, okay. So if you're looking at it based on what we've seen so far, the one player that we've been semi-criticizing is Deion. Deion is the weak link.
Which is hilarious because I took that back
two episodes ago.
She's scoring 4 out of 4 games.
The hilarious thing, I probably would have said the same thing. And even then, it's pretty foolish to say.
After this game, as good as McCarthy has been, he did not have a good game against St. Louis. He's actually my lowest rated for St. Louis.
Well, I mean, he has the own goal, so it makes sense for this game. But I think he was great so far.
He was credited with the own goal, but I'm not going to fault him for that.
That's not really an own goal, yeah.
That's what they call
it. Yeah, I'm not faulting him for that.
I know.
Yeah, I know they did, but I'm not faulting him for that one. Okay. So your lowest rated player is McCarthy. Bobby, who you were saying is your lowest rated player?
I can't make a decision for the 4 games, but I can make a decision.
No, just for this game.
No, just for this game. For this game.
Okay. Even though I love him, I think just because of the cards, it has to be Cáceres.
Oh, exactly.
That's a good. Yeah. Well.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, it is literally the only way that I could do that. Is Cáceres, and it is officially correct. He is the lowest rated player. Okay, who's the highest rated player? The
players that didn't get a red card, who was the lowest rated?
We'll get back to that. Who was the highest rated player?
Dude, it's Paintsill. For this game, it's Paintsill. It's Paintsill, and then it's...
I'm going to go with...
Probably Alde.
I'm going to go with Yoshida, mainly because he has the goal, and Paintsill has a yellow.
Okay, so that's not bad reasoning right there. You got to remember that Paintsill also got the goal and obviously was more involved.
Yeah, but then he also has a yellow, but yeah.
And Yoshida is a defender, and he officially allowed 3 goals. So there's that.
Yeah.
Paintsill is the highest rated player.
Okay.
And with the yellow. So he was at 8.8. Who's the second highest rated player?
Delgado.
Yeah, I mean, I would go Jovic because of the goal, but yeah.
No, it's Delgado. He had a great game.
I mean, he's every game he's had a great game.
Yeah, he's been solid, dude.
Yeah.
You're both correct. both of them had an 8.0. They were both second and third. So those are your top three right there. So we talked about Cáceres being at the bottom. So the ones who didn't get ejected from the game, who was the lowest rated player?
The referee.
Well, McCarthy. McCarthy for sure after that.
Yeah, McCarthy and probably – oh, man. You know, I know he's not – yeah, I know he's not here, but I feel like Pooch had such an up and down game.
I remember you telling me that.
I think it was bad for this. In this game, he was so up and down. He gave away a lot of balls, but he also had a lot of like really great plays. But as far as like who's the next lowest, maybe Yamane.
Well, you guys are pretty much on the mark here. So it's McCarthy after Cáceres. And if you're talking about field player, it is Yamane at 6.5.
There it is.
Pooj.
Paid attention.
You did pay attention.
I didn't even rewatch the game this week.
I rewatched it today, earlier this morning.
Yeah, I haven't rewatched it either. I want to go back and watch it again. Pooj had, with the yellow card, he had 7.0. So for Pooj's standard, yeah, that's low.
That's low for him.
Yeah, so there's that quick stats right here. Obviously, the Galaxy winning the possession game. That's not new, 67-33. Total shots, 19-16. By the way, that advantage was to St. Louis. So St. Louis taking three more shots than the Galaxy. The Galaxy were more accurate as half of their shots were on target, where only five were on target for St. Louis.
Jeez.
However, three of those went in, so, you know, very there's efficient. That. Sort of efficient. I mean, they took 19 shots, but when they were on target, they were on target. If anything, that's probably where you're saying McCarthy, but I don't think there was a – like, I just don't see a goal there where it's like, yeah, McCarthy could have done better. I just don't see that. The first one was a bad giveaway. Like he was kind of hung out to dry. It was basically half one-on-one. The second goal was the bicycle kick. And the third goal was a borderline foul.
Where he got fouled? Like, but probably could have come out harder.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, yeah, it's hard for me to criticize McCarthy in these. Yeah. So there's, can't do it. Expected goals, 2.53 for the Galaxy. 2.14 for St. Louis. So we're talking a pretty even game all around. Obviously, the passes are going to be heavily favored for the Galaxy as a control. They have more than double of St. Louis's passes. Again, that's not really a surprise. Again, offensively, statistically, this game is even. Although, like I said, you look at those eight shots that were like on target. Got to remember that three of them hit the post, and those officially don't count as on target. So you have like 11 out of the 16 shots that were around the goal. And again, I know you scored three, but you should have had more. Like, we all know you should have had more. This game was, again, not deserved of a draw. Maybe statistically it says another story, but I think the eye test says differently. But if I go back, I can go and see, ooh, St. Louis should have scored there. St. Louis should have scored there. Or St. Louis should have scored there. And all, again, by shooting yourself in the foot. Bad giveaways in your area. So, again, if there's anything that maybe Greg Vanney needs to fix, it's that. Like, dude, we need to cut that out now. Because there were plenty of times where they didn't score, and yet you still made that mistake. So Galaxy lucky there as well. So I think maybe statistically it is pretty fair that it was a drop. Just frustrating that you probably should have been up 3-0 before St. Louis got anywhere near the goal. And the game probably should have been over by then anyway. And it changes the dynamic. Imagine being up 3-0 at halftime, coming out. St. Louis has completely changed their game plan. Probably not pressing anymore. And then, you know, at that point, maybe the Galaxy cruises. So yeah, still frustrating. I'm disappointed. We are still undefeated, asterisk. But it's very we're playing better, but it's still a little familiar to that 13-game unbeaten streak of last year, something that I never bought into because, again, like we were – I think with that one we were coming back and salvaging a draw and maybe just kind of like – again, shooting ourselves in the foot, giving up the draw because we're unbeaten for 13, but we only won like two of those games. So it's like, okay, sure, but, you know, things could have been different. And right now, you're heading in that direction. Yeah, you're undefeated, but things definitely should be different. You should be in first place right now. And that's very disappointing because you're going to go back in September, October, when you're looking at seedings, you've already dropped 6 points. That's a lot. And 6 points, that's like the difference between, what, eighth and third place in MLS? I mean, it's 6 points is a lot. So, yeah, not good. And the fact that two of those are already at home, again, that's not good. Overall, like I said, I think you can criticize the Galaxy, but they're not playing bad. But this is, like I said, this is starting to be a trend, and that's not a good thing. So,
all right. Any last words, David?
On to Kansas City, where we things are not pretty. Yeah. Please take me home. I don't know. That's it.
All right, guys. Well, thank you for listening. This is LA Is Our House saying goodbye. Episode 324 saying goodbye with David and Lewis.
Good night.
And thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
And this is Bobby. See you guys.